Good day, greetings, hello. It is Art at the End of the World, the podcast that features artists, entertainers, and cultural leaders speaking on what it is to make art here at the end. And this is our Thursday edition, aka bonus round. My name is Mark Wigmore. Thank you for joining me. It is late night where I am here in Toronto when I'm recording this particular episode. I've got my little Bichon Frise running around the house like a maniac, and my older, you could hear him shaking in the background, my older Norfolk Terrier, grumpy at the Bichon Frise's energy, basically. So they've both been running around the house a lot. I thought I'd take a break and put together bonus round for this week. There's Harry right now. Today on Bonus Round, the Toronto International Film Festival's co-head and artistic director Cameron Bailey lists the three films that have had the greatest effect on him personally, a profound effect, a life-changing effect, films that have offered a lasting vision for him to ponder, and it's a great list. And I love this idea. I love that when we walk into a movie theater, especially if it's a serious film, it doesn't even need to be, but we see something and it transforms our perspective. It provides empathy to a group of people or a situation or a place. A movie can help us rethink the world around us. It can be a truly wonderful and transformative experience, and I love it, and I'm so glad that I had a chance to put together this little list with Cameron. It's short, but it's coming up in a moment. A quick reminder that Art at the End of the World is sponsored by Kerner Hall at the Royal Conservatory of Music. They've been very busy over there, a lot of concerts of late. Salter Street Brewery going strong. The Riverside Pilsner available in stores, LCBO, beer stores, and so on. But also, they have multiple brews happening at the actual brewery on Salter Street. Superframe Framing Services in downtown Toronto, doing an incredible job, very busy there. And Red Eye Media, representing so many wonderful arts and culture organizations in Toronto and beyond. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We can't do it without them. If you have a chance to support one of those wonderful sponsors, please do. So Cameron Bailey, born in London, England, moved to Barbados as a child. Eventually landed in Toronto. He started writing about film as a student and moved into screenwriting. He's been a critic, and that eventually led to his post at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, many years ago. And it's really just lately that he started as the co-head of the festival, continues his artistic director duties. He has taken over for Pierce Handling in many respects, so it's a big deal. We had a great talk on Monday, by the way. So really, do take, if you're listening to this and you just are checking out his top picks for films, take a moment and listen to the conversation, because there's a lot there about film, where it's headed, what's on his mind within the art form and the medium. Great conversation if you missed it. So here's Cameron's list for you. It's a good one. Write them down on Art at the End of the World bonus round. We always like to offer a list to our listeners, something I talk about a lot, how a piece of art, in this case film, can change your perception of the world around you. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things any piece of art can do. So I'd love to hear a couple films that have sort of had that profound effect on you, where you walked out and thought, my worldview has changed, something has changed for seeing this film.
I will give you three.
Okay.
Chris Marker's Sans Soleil, Sunless, from 1983.
Right.
An essay film, so very much a personal view of the world and travel through the director's eyes. He roams across the world, Iceland and Japan and the coast of West Africa.
The first image he told me about was of three children on a road in Iceland in 1965. He said that for him it was the image of happiness, and also that he had tried several times to link it to other images, but it never worked. He wrote me, "One day I'll have to put it all alone at the beginning of a film with a long piece of black leader. If they don't see happiness in the picture, at least they'll see the black.
It just feels like a conversation you'd have with somebody, and it really opened my eyes to how film can be anything and how it can be so personal as well. It can encompass the whole world, but through one person's vision. That was amazing to me.
I love that idea that you walk out and you say, not only did that story change my life, but just the way it was told was so special.
Yeah.
Jibril Diop Mambety's Tuki Buki. If you haven't seen it, anyone listening, it's one of, I think, the most revelatory, really inspiring films I've ever seen. A filmmaker from Senegal, and revolutionary in the way that Godard was, and in the way that that opened my eyes. But he's an African filmmaker and very much making a film about these two young African rebels trying to escape. It's kind of like a, you know, Rebels on the Run kind of movie in the great American tradition, but shot through with a very revolutionary African sensibility. This is the time when Africa was going through so many independence movements, and that's reflected in the film as well. It just has this freedom to it, which I absolutely love.
What year was that one?
That was like in the late 60s. I can't remember the exact date. But yeah, he's passed on, unfortunately. But it's still a really influential film. And
number three.
Number three is, and it's amazing because I could go on forever, but I will stop it at Wong Kar-wai's film, In the Mood for Love, which wasn't always my favorite Wong Kar-wai movie. I love Chungking Express as well. But In the Mood for Love, on sustained viewing, stands up as perhaps the most beautiful piece of cinema I can imagine.
I love that idea, too, that you there's a body of work and maybe you have a favorite there, but when you really think about the one that changed your perception or was profound in a way that is bugging you at the back of your brain. You know?
And it's really always a kind of an index of how you change over time as well, your response to the movies that you love. And sometimes some of them, they fall away in your heart, and some of them you grow to love even more. And In the Mood for Love is one I will love, I think, for the rest of my life. It's a love story, of course. It's a story of loss and longing and so melancholy. And I think the combination of passion and sadness is just irresistible for me anyhow, and great performances, absolutely beautiful images, and great music, and I could live inside that film.
We love to feel sad at the movies sometimes.
We do. We absolutely
I know I do.
In the dark.
Cameron Bailey, what a treat, and I know you're a busy man, and thank you for taking a little time to be a part of this podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So there it is. Did you get that? I'll repeat the three films for you. Sans Soleil, Sunless. It's a documentary. Then In the Mood for Love. And finally, from the 60s, Tuki Buki. And those are the three films chosen by Cameron Bailey. Very exciting. Check TIFF.net for everything happening at TIFF Bell Lightbox. And, of course, updates on the festival, the 2019 edition happening in September. Lots of info there. TIFF.net. I'm back on Monday. An exciting, exciting episode. This is a lot of fun. I've been keeping my eye on this particular drag performer for a long time, and I won't give you too much more than that, but Monday's show is it's a doozy. Thank you for checking out Bonus Round. I'm going to get back to the dogs because they're running around downstairs, and I think they're eating both my recycling and my laundry. I'm Mark Wigmore. Thanks for listening.